Self-knowledge is the beginning of right thinking. If you love only those who love you, what credit is that to you? Luke 6:2. Self-knowledge is the root of understanding. Without self-knowledge, there is confusion and conflict and continual duality of the mine and not mine, of the me and not me. Thus, the conflict of opposites will continue to exist if craving is not discerned and understood. Now, is it not so that you are continually engaged with the me and the not me, and the mine and the not mine? You must get beyond this duality into that which is reality. There you will find that there is no duality whatsoever, but there is one complete wholeness in which we all exist and to which we all belong. The one life which is behind everything, which is behind all growth in the mineral and the vegetable and the animal and the human and the angelic and beyond, is the one life of the infinite, and nothing can exist outside it. People are continually concerned with their own cravings. We find that when one craves, we are going away from reality, because there is a sense of lack through craving, which produces its own kind. The great tragedy in the human race is that continual sense of lack that exists in the human mind. By feeling this sense of lack, there is always craving, and that craving brings separation and brings sorrow and conflict. It's the me and the not me, the mine and the not mine. Therefore, if you search into your own minds and understand this, you will get a better understanding of yourselves, because self-knowledge is the root of understanding. And without self-knowledge, there is confusion and conflict and continual duality. Take the craving for personal immortality. Is this not the continual desire for the preservation of the self? Not only in the hereafter, but for the preservation of the self here also, with its cravings for position, desire for possessions, pride of family, name, craving for authority and mystery and miracle. In not understanding these, we yield to them, thus we create no end of sorrow. If we knew that we are immortal, we would no longer crave for immortality. But as long as we crave for immortality, you will realize there can be no sense of immortality. It is only when you have a true sense of immortality, through the discernment of everything that is relative, then you will find within yourself that which is eternal and ever-present. And that which is eternal and ever-present is always now, living at this moment, moment to moment, as I told you before, not in the past or the future. But you look for immortality in the future. By doing so, you lose that immortality that is now, the very essence of your being. The only virtue is the understanding of the self. The so-called positive qualities of the self are binding, so there is no freedom from conflict. Are you not always told about the positive qualities of the self, so you can develop these positive qualities? Look into yourselves and you will see how binding these positive qualities are. Are they not going away from reality? What is the most powerful thing in existence today? In any time, past, future, or present, it always has been the expression of life itself, in all its glory, in every form, from the very lowest to the very highest. Therefore, it is this freedom that you obtain through self-knowledge, through self-discernment, through understanding all that is relative, knowing that all that is relative is harmless to you, and therefore you are harmless to all that is relative. Behind then this understanding is a consciousness of life that is not binding, but is freedom. And this consciousness of life gives you an understanding of wholeness, that the life in everything is the same life in you and me. Therefore, there is no binding. There is no superman or super qualities that exist in mankind. There is the expression of life alone, and according to your power to receive and express that life, so will it manifest through you in its greatest form. Now, what is the means then through which you can make yourself so receptive that you can make yourself a medium through which this life will flow? By discerning all that is relative and understanding that, and understanding the self, understanding craving, understanding duality, seeing that the individual is not caught up in these things, so that there is a oneness, a freedom from these things. Therefore, that which is real will manifest in your life and produce tremendous things. As Jesus said, I of myself am nothing. It's the Spirit of the Father within me that doeth these things. It is the Father, whoever remaineth within me is performing his own deeds. Is not the desire to become virtuous also within the narrow self, the constant process of possessiveness of the self brings fear and hope? Craving to be virtuous is a constant binding of the self. The essence of virtue is not building up the process of the self in any way whatsoever, but freeing the self from its own entanglements through understanding. If then you can free yourself from the entanglements of your own mind, your beliefs in this, your fears in that, your hopes for this, and so forth, if you can free yourself and recognize now that this very moment you are free, because now is the time you are free. There is no other time freedom. Freedom is now, at this moment, because it is life and it's living. The past is not freedom, the future is not freedom, because you're caught up in these things. Oh, could I give you this in reality? Could I give you what I know, my own? But I can't. You have to find it out for yourselves. But if I can show you these things that are causing and preventing you from understanding and living for this moment, then I have not spoken to you in vain. If we can discern our thought feeling arising out of craving, we will become aware of the ways of the self. The self can never become open and clear through craving to be virtuous, for the self is always confusing and contradicting. But if we can become aware of the thought feeling behind craving, in this there is beginning of sincerity, wisdom, and love. When you are caught up in craving, you are craving. But immediately you discern that you are craving and become aware of your thought feeling, which is behind your craving, then you can free yourself. Don't you see, it is the discerning the relative and the conditions that are binding you that is so essential. Everyone, if you're trying to concentrate on God, you're thinking by concentrating on God and saying that God is within me, you're going to be saved. But all the time you keep on carrying on with the entanglements of the self. You keep binding ourselves continually with craving and contradictions. beliefs and so forth in your mind, you think by saying that God and you are one, you want to free yourself from all these entanglements. How can it be? You only bring the idea of God into your prison in which you exist, and there is no longer a freedom. Most people are ignorantly pretending to be virtuous while their minds are filled with confusion, ill will, and antagonism. Without self-knowledge, mere sincerity is narrowness and gullibility. To become aware of escapes, distortions, hindrances will lead to order and clarity. To be candid with ourselves, we will reveal our hidden dishonesty in contradiction. We were all dishonest with ourselves in our contradiction, because we are continually living in contradiction unless we discern that we are doing so. You're living in the opposites, are you not? You're living on the idea of health or ill health. You're living in the idea of failure or success. You're living in the idea of death and life. You are living in the idea of faith and fear. You are continually contradicting yourselves. You're living in a world of contradiction because you do not discern these things that you are doing so. How can you ever escape then from these things? If you find you are frustrated, what do? You try to escape. But you don't discern why you're frustrated. You only try to escape from your frustration, but that doesn't relieve you. How can that relieve you from the frustration if you try to escape from it? That only creates another distortion, is it not? What you have got to see is discern why you are frustrated. And when you discern why you are frustrated, it will fall away and you will find freedom. When the mind is searched without fear or unafraid to find the self out, then there is virtue without self-knowledge. Virtue is ignorant confusion and self-contradiction. Unless we can look at our own thoughts freely, without fear, withholding judgment, there cannot be clear thinking. If you can look at your thoughts and not be caught up in fear, then there is freedom. But if you look at your thoughts and you're caught up in fear, how can there be any freedom? You must discern then why you are afraid. Good and evil is a duality in the mind. Fear and faith, health and ill health, success and failure, etc. These are conflicts of duality. And not until they are discerned, and the thought feeling that arises from their duality is comprehended, can there be real freedom. Life itself does not contain duality. This duality arises from craving of the self and is born of ignorance. If only the world thinkers and scholars would step out of their circumscribed and limited way of thinking, a new pathway would open up for mankind. Unfortunately, our thinkers are still bound by tradition, imitation, and by beliefs, which hinder pure thinking. This is because their thinking is based upon the past and not upon the freedom of the ever-present life. Yet I am sure that through the science of life and the cosmos, a much better world will be born where mankind will live in love, peace, and freedom. If our leaders could only think clearly, instead of being caught up in the various beliefs and ideologies, we would be led out of our difficulties. But the fact is that we ourselves are so caught up in beliefs and ideologies that we create those conditions and those people to lead us into difficulties instead of out of them. But if we could discern, and the people could discern clearly, through clear thinking, the cause of this confusion, it would disappear. Immediately the cause is discerned, the effect passes away, for the simple reason that it no longer exists. If we can see the difference, for instance, now we have a Jew, a Gentile, a Mohammedan, a Hindu, and all the different types of religion. These people are human beings, all children of God. We talk to them about humanity and what humanity is. They're quite comfortable and quiet and peaceful. But touch on their beliefs, touch on their religion, and they'll draw a sword to cut your throat, destroy you. Why? Because they have not discerned that what they believe is false, that it has no foundation in truth whatsoever. Because the only foundation of truth is the ever-present living life, which is common to all and binds us all together as one whole. Why is it then that these people are caught up in this way? Because of their leaders who are blind, and they lead the blind, and they all fall into the ditch. The habit of thinking in terms of effects has hindered man in his progress and has stilled his growth, mentally and spiritually. Thus man is kept in confusion and misery because he will not discern his thought feelings and how they arise. The habit of looking at things from the outside and not understanding their inner cause has blinded man to the truth about himself. When man becomes aware, through self-knowledge, the secret of creativeness will be revealed to him. But this cannot come through beliefs or so-called virtue, but through deep understanding and contemplation. How can you find reality through a belief when you're going away from reality? Is a belief not something in the mind? Something you believe of the past that somebody said many years ago? And you look into your future for immortality? How can you understand the truth with these contradictions, both in the past and the future? Is not the ever-present life the only living reality and the only fundamental and the foundation for all truth? Can there be any, then, belief in the mind that is real? A belief is a belief, but a belief causes separation because you believe different to others. What's in your mind is false. Immediately discern the falseness of the things in your mind, then you'll get nearer to the truth. But if you hold on to those beliefs in contradiction to another belief or ideal, contradiction to another ideal, an ideology in contradiction to another ideology, then you'll have strife, you'll have war, you'll have trouble, you have bloodshed, you have killing, you have mass murder, you have hatred, antagonisms, which will sweep the world. And have you got any further on? No. You have gone further back. Are we not limited by the concepts we hold and believe to be true? Have we ever honestly examine whether they are true or not? Or does it matter very much whether they are true or not? Is life not more important than all these things? Jesus said, is life not more potent than the body? The body more important than the raiment? We are held fast in our minds through tradition, through imitative beliefs and superstitions. What do we mean by imitative beliefs? Because we're imitating the belief of our forefathers. We accept it without thinking because they had done it. But unless we realize the importance of our own thinking and our own discernment, we can never free ourselves. One thing is true, that science is coming to the fore, and it is breaking down a great many of these superstitions. Because people who begin to learn of scientific investigations of matter, the atomic energy, and all these things are beginning to see behind the scenes that these beliefs are all false and have no foundation upon truth whatsoever. If, and which I've said before, the words of Jesus had been examined and understood from a scientific basis, the basis upon which he expressed them, then the world would be different today. But what has happened? The ignorant theologian and all these people who have beliefs have taken those words and made platitudes of them and fed the public with these platitudes, and they believe it is true. A platitude is only something in your mind. A belief is something in your mind. But that which is real is beyond your mind. Therefore, you have to get beyond your mind to know reality. You've got to wave all things aside. You've got to discern the mind, the mass of material that is there, and wade yourself through it, until such time as you have cleansed it and cleared it, and there you'll find reality is beyond mind. It is said that love is the greatest thing in the world, but without becoming aware of the source of conflict and craving, love brings pain. There is no escape from love, yet without understanding, there is torture. So the foolish blame love without understanding the cause of pain. The cause of pain is not love, but craving and possessiveness. Love is an eternal thing. It's not something you make or something you can claim. It is something you can express. But if you try to possess it, it brings pain and torture. There is sorrow in love when the mind is caught up in duality, the me and the not me, and the mine and the not mine. We all know that when we love, there is sorrow in the loss of that love, sorrow in the loss of the object of our affection. If there is hate in love, if there is fear in love, if there is resentment in love, then there is no escape from its torture. But this is craving and not love which creates this dependence on all the sorrowful issues that arise from it. I can only show you that great thing which in itself is free and is never bound. But if you try to bind it, then you bring sorrow upon yourself, because it refuses to be bound. You cannot bind love. If you give love freedom, then you have love. If you love freely, then you have love. Then you have compassion, you have forgiveness, you have all these attributes of love, then you have love. But if you have fear, if you have possessiveness, if you have hate, then you have not love. You have possessiveness. You have craving. Jesus was the one who understood this. His words always ring in my ears, and this is what it is. If you love only those who love you, what credit is that to you? Love your neighbor as yourself, because he is yourself. What is it that gives rise to uncertainty? Is it not desire for love? But this is not love. This uncertainty breeds possessiveness, jealousy, fear. In possessiveness, there is an inward fear and suspicion. This is not love, but inward emptiness, need for dependence. But dependence breeds fear and not love. The lesson tonight is one of great importance, because it affects every one of us. The fact that we have not discerned these things, we have not entered into our own minds to discern whether our love is possessiveness or craving. And when we find that it is possessiveness and craving, then we will find love. But not until we find this possessiveness and root it out by discerning it and understanding it, will we ever know love. Without understanding craving, there is domination, oppression, taking the form of love. Therefore, we've got to understand craving. When we understand craving, then there is no domination, there is no oppression taking the form of love. Is it not so that most people dominate and their love is a form of oppression? How can there be love when love is freedom and truth and perfection, forgiveness, and all the qualities that are highest in the human nature? Having the seed of uncertainty and contradiction within oneself, how can there be love? Love is beyond and above all these. Love itself is eternal and therefore not dependent. It is not a result of outer stimulation which nourishes a temporary feeling of well-being. Love is something that is inherent in every human being, and love can only be found in reality from moment to moment. And that moment must be free and not tarnished with the past or hopes for the future. Because if love is tarnished with the past or hopes for the future, you will never know the eternal love that is now. Never. In love there is generosity, forgiveness, compassion. With true love, humility and gentleness comes into being. Without love, we have no existence. To understand this, you must begin to understand your thought, feelings, and actions. Have you ever then discerned your thought, feelings, and actions in regard to possessiveness as far as love is concerned? Is there fear in your love? Is there possessiveness in your love? Is there oppression in your love? Is there domination in your love? Then there cannot be forgiveness. There cannot be compassion. There cannot be humility and gentleness. If your actions are the result of your ideas, your beliefs, your fears, your desires, there is no love. Love is not built out of these. Love is the eternal essence waiting to express itself when all this conflict and contradiction has ceased to be. Then love expresses itself. Discern in your own minds freely there. Does these conditions exist? Is your love the result of your ideas, your beliefs, your fears, your desires? Then you have no love. I'm telling you truths now. I'm getting behind this petty scenes of the individual mind that are trailing you to the dust, that are creating contradictions and destroying you. Instead of building up a healthy state of mind and body, you are being destroyed by your own ignorance. Love is the power in you that gives life and strength to the mind and body. But it must be free from those things. Only then do we become the image and likeness of Him who created us. When we know that this love is the eternal essence waiting to express itself, when all the contradiction and conflict in the self has ceased to be, then we are like Him who created us, free from conflict, free from contradiction, free from duality. I hope that you're beginning to see the meaning behind my words. Life and death is a contradiction in man's mind, for there cannot be a dead particle in the whole living universe. What the ignorant person sees is a form of change, transformation. Yet he does not know that it's a form of transformation. Therefore, the idea of death is an illusion, a belief. Therefore, he has duality in his mind of life and death. But death and life are the same thing. In life, there is continuous change. And being ignorant of this change, then you call the change death. And you believe that death is the end. But if you ever seek an end or seek a result, you are also in an illusion, because there is no end whatsoever. John Calvin and John Knox had a lot to do with formulating a religion of sorrow and conflict. Unfortunately for them, they took themselves seriously and left this world old and decrepit at the young age of 57. They were caught up in the net of their belief, and anyone who follows their example will sooner or later suffer from arteriosclerosis of the thinking cells. When we find that the cells become hard because of our hard thoughts and hard feelings, which they do, we have then what we call arteriosclerosis of the thinking cells, a hardening of the cell structure of the brain. And with that, the whole body dies. So they died old and decrepit at the young age of 57. I'm nearly 20 years older than they are, and I'm still as young, half their age. So therefore, you see, when you have this stupidity in the mind, when you are caught up in these things, what is a young mind? A young mind is one that is flexible. Without being flexible, you can never remain young, because immediately you make your ideas concrete, then you make your brain cells concrete too. You must be ready to discard all your ideas as fresh ones come along. You must be ready to discard all your beliefs when something else supersedes them. Otherwise, you will just die like old Knox and old Calvin. And in some parts of the world, we still have this sort of stupidity going on. When we think clearly, free from past or future, free from imitation, free from fear, life will unfold itself in us, its continuity. When you understand, you can live dangerously, fearlessly, knowing that it is life that lives. Yet those who do not know live in fear. Millions of people attach fear to everything that is said or done. Yet nothing matters except living in love and wisdom. To refute untrue things said about you is an error of judgment. It is better to be lied about than to lie against another. The ever-present life is the only reality. All else is of no consequence. When you know the living life that is now, that I am life, does it matter one tuppenny damn what they say? It does not, for the simple reason that you are living life now, and nothing can injure or harm you. But as we know perfectly well, unfortunately the ignorant do not, that these missiles which they bombard from the platform upon which they stand returns to the same platform and whizzes around about themselves. So you see, it all comes back. It's like a little stone that drops in the pool. The little ripples move right away to the outside of the pool and begin then naturally to move back into the center of the pool. And when they have reached the center of the pool once more, they have rested there. He who has, to him more shall be given. To him who has not, even that which he has shall be taken from him. When you understand, you can live dangerously and fearlessly. The ever-present life is the only reality. All else is of no consequence. The outer we see and feel is not as it seems to our senses. It is only when we think clearly that the truth reveals itself. What you see and feel through your senses, you will say, it's so and so and so and so because you believe it to be so and so. But have you ever investigated what that is, what is behind that which you see and feel? It is long since I realized that the inner and the outer are interchangeable, just as mind and matter are interchangeable, correlated and essentially identical, harmoniously welded by polarities of nature's forces. The outer is but the expression of the inner. I have no illusion regard what things are when I see them and feel them. I do not accept the fact that this is really a table, or that is a glass of water, or you are a physical body. I go behind more things than that. That is an outer form which is visible to the physical eye, but the ignorant people see the same thing, but the wise see things that are different. When we begin to realize the wonder of the cosmos, the consciousness of the little self disappears, and the greater understanding of the whole takes its place. Science has showed us that matter viewed separately from energy does not exist. Chemical action, electricity, magnetism, heat, light are but different modes of motion, different expressions of the one force in transformation. All these are complementary to each other, and change rapidly and readily into each other without loss of the original force. All forces are but one force, convertible from the invisible to the visible, and vice versa. The delusion we have in our minds is caused through the senses when we do not understand, when we are unaware, when we do not understand what we see and feel through the senses. But are you going to believe as the masses do? Are you not students of the highest signs of life? Are you not students of a universal college of science? that gives you a greater understanding of life forces? Are you to be content then with what you see through your senses? Or are you going to investigate and find that which is behind them? Is it not so that we create in our minds a mental concept and reaction to what the senses see and feel, yet there is no evidence to substantiate what we see and feel to exist except the consciousness becomes aware of it? And thus we create a concept in our minds in regarding to it. I hope you see this point. Scientifically speaking, feeling is a resistance to motion, and seeing is a reaction to light vibrations. From these we create images in our mind which we believe to be true. We live and move in the ocean of life, continually unfolding its creativeness through us. When we begin to understand ourselves, we become conscious of the external and have interpreted what we see and feel according to our understanding. That is why childishly innocent and ignorant people can never mature, for they are always fearing the evil they are looking for, so the mind becomes poisoned and their bodies likewise. A mind that is ready for creative ideas is one that has already united itself to things seen and unseen. The creative intelligence has created a mechanism through which it can function here. The outer is but the expression of the inner. Your outer form is but the expression of the inner. If you only see the outer, then you're living in an illusion. You live in fear, in ignorance. All visible forms were first invisible, forms created in the one mind and carried forward by the creative energy revealing the creative principle in action. This creative principle manifests in the invisible and the visible at one and the same time. So, that creative principle in me is within the invisible and the visible that you see now. And when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. We can, with a little understanding, find the method whereby we can consciously cooperate with this creativeness for the fulfillment of our being, in heaven and on earth, at the same time. Not in some future date. Heaven, you think, is some time far off. You don't know, it's in your mind, a belief. But my heaven is here now. I've got it. It is eternal. And my earth too. And the one is interchangeable with the other. If I know one, I know the other. But if I don't know one, I fear the other. All powers given to me in heaven and on earth. This means at the same time, all powers given to the one who understands both in the inner and the outer. Not in some future time. Because there is no such thing in time in reality. Reality exists now, moment to moment. That's the time in heaven and on earth. Jesus was a man of science. He wasn't a preacher. He was a great scholar, the greatest the world has ever seen. And those who can see his mind can understand. But those who live in these platitudes can never understand. So our wealth lies in our creative power and not in the things created. In the understanding of this great truth, is the beginning and ending of all things. For the creative principle is the embodiment of all laws of creation with a knowing how. Therefore, ask and ye shall receive is the natural outcome of the creative principle in operation, provided that craving is understood. If you crave, how can you receive? Jesus said, believe you have received and you shall have. There is no craving in that. There is knowing, understanding. But there is no understanding in craving. Craving is fear and doubt for the fulfillment. We make our own limitation by clinging to the form. Creative spirit is formless and is the only power. Form has no power of its own. I have no power of my own. It's the spirit of the Father within me. It has the whole power. It is our sense of separation that has made us impotent, while the other holds the mind in bondage. Your mind is held in bondage to the form, to the outer, is it not? Then free your mind from the outer and understand the inner. Then you will understand the outer. And you'll see there is no separation and no division. Therefore, we must not worship idols and symbols, but become aware of our creativeness in unison with that which created all things. When we have put away our beliefs in separation, our consciousness of the false will disappear, and a consciousness of reality will manifest to make all things anew. It is the state of consciousness that brings about the inner and the outer manifestation. What the inner is, so shall the outer be. If we will learn this now, we will avoid much unnecessary suffering. We are continually clothing ourselves with our thoughts, and the state of our consciousness determines the kind of thoughts we have. Is your state of consciousness caught up in the relative? Is it caught up in craving? Is it caught up in beliefs, ideas, the past and the future? How can you create with a consciousness that's bound like that? The consciousness must be free to live moment to moment. This is the freedom of consciousness. Life. I am the life. Now. Jesus preached the kingdom of God, and if we listen to his teachings free from all prejudices, all dogma, we'll find that kingdom when we have discerned all thoughts of the self which lives in separation. Then we will make the great discovery of the indwelling Christ. It is the invisible soul that sustains the visible body. So does the invisible world sustain the visible world. If we cut ourselves off from the invisible, our inspiration ceases. When we awaken into the true awareness, we will cast off these false beliefs. Beliefs in sickness, belief that cause fear, belief in the power of sin, belief in the false doctrines of false prophets. The spirit life is not touched by sickness, fear, sin, or death. Spirit is all, and all is spirit. The soul is strengthened by the eternal love. And to bless all, no matter who they are, is true religion. I am he who lives, was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Revelation 1:18. Benediction. O omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, thy love and wisdom has removed the cloud of ignorance from my mind and heart. My consciousness is made clear through thy presence, and my mind freed from conflict and illusion. As I behold thee, and thee only, my joy lives forever. Now I think rightly, O thy love and wisdom.